The next case is 01-1518, State of Ohio versus Larry James Gapin. Mr. Lowe.
Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court, I'd like to reserve any time remaining for my lead argument for rebuttal.
You may.
Larry Gapin's death sentence is invalid because of two critical errors by the trial court. First, the trial court instructed the jury to reconsider death after the jury stated that they had rejected the death penalty. And second, the trial court merged binding life verdicts into death. We, the jury, cannot unanimously agree on a specific life sentence and are unable to render a sentencing verdict. In order to clear up any ambiguity, the trial court asked the juror foreperson, is that to all counts? The juror foreperson answered, yes. In simple, plain language, the Gapin's jury rejected the death penalty on all 12 counts. This jury understood the Brooks instruction and followed the trial court's instruction that it could not unanimously agree on a specific life sentence. It informed the court by written note that it was unable to render a sentencing verdict. At this point, the trial court should have taken the case away because the jury deliberated and rejected the death penalty. However, we are not here today on that issue. We are here today because the jury rejected death, informed the trial court twice, and the trial court still instructed the jury to reconsider death. Gapin's jury informed the trial court twice that it could not agree on a sentencing recommendation. In the first note to the trial court, it asked for clarification on the Brooks and unanimity charge and informed the trial court that it was unable to agree on a sentencing recommendation. The trial court told the jury to reread the instruction carefully. The second note was, as I quoted at the beginning, that they were unable to agree on a specific life sentence and that they were unable to render a sentencing verdict. The trial court clarified the note that it was to all 12 counts and the jury answered in the affirmative. The trial court further clarified that at this point, the deliberations had ceased being productive and the jury agreed. At this point, the trial court gave an erroneous Hauer charge by putting death back on the table. Defense counsel promptly objected because the jury had rejected the death penalty. The trial court found that it was not clear one way or the other. Is this to all counts? Yes, it was clear that the jury had rejected death on all 12 counts. The supplemental Hauer charge undermined the Brooks instruction by requiring the jury to reconsider death rather than urge the jury to agree on a specific life sentence. This jury understood the Brooks instruction and informed the trial court as instructed. The trial court failed to properly follow Brooks and revise code 2929.03d2. We, the jury, cannot agree on a specific life sentence. Is that to all counts? Yes. There is only one interpretation to this question and answer. Death was rejected in all 12 counts. Reinstructing the jury to reconsider death was improper rather than encouraging the jury to agree on a specific life sentence. This supplemental Hauer charge violated Larry Gapin's due process rights, which require this court to vacate the death penalty and remand for resentencing on count 13. The second error by the trial court was the improper merger of divergent sentences for a single victim. For the first time in Ohio, and as certainly this court has seen, a capital jury recommended divergent sentences for a single victim. The state charged Larry Gapin with 12 counts of aggravated murder for three victims, four counts per victim. although Gapin could only receive one sentence per victim. Attached to each count were the same five aggravating circumstances. 11 out of 12 times, Gapin's jury rejected death and imposed life without the possibility of parole. As for the aggravated murder of Jessica Young in counts 13 through 16, the jury imposed life without the possibility of parole three times. The divergent sentencing verdicts rendered in this case is the product of not requiring the state to elect prior to the sentencing phase. Requiring the state to elect prior to the penalty phase would eliminate juror confusion and promote judicial economy. Defense counsel specifically requested merger prior to the penalty phase rather than sending 48 verdict forms to the jury. The state refused to elect. Revised Code 2929.03d2 requires the trial court to impose a life verdict as rendered by the jury. A life verdict is binding upon the trial court, whereas a death recommendation is not binding under 2929.03d2. And that is why the trial court erred in engaging in the weighing process of 2929.03d3.
Counsel, if we agree with your argument, how does this matter get unwound?
This court must vacate the death sentence and remand to the trial court for resentencing to life without the possibility of parole. The jury already acquitted Larry Gapin of the death penalty for Jessica Young in counts 14 through 16.
So the sentence would automatically be life without parole?
Yes. Once faced with divergent sentences, the trial court gave no rationale for merging three binding life verdicts into death. 2929.03d2 requires a trial court to impose a life verdict. This error is not harmless because the jury rendered verdicts which were ignored by the trial court. Death is different, and a death sentence may not be imposed arbitrarily or capriciously. Gapin must have his sentence determined by the jury, not the trial court. The trial court's lip service merger violated Ohio law, which requires this court to vacate the death sentence and remand for imposition of life without the possibility of parole for the aggravated murder of Jessica Young, as the jury decided in counts 13, counts 14 through 16. There are no questions. Larry Gapin requests this court to vacate his death sentence and remand for life without the possibility of parole.
Thank you, Mr. Lowe. Ms. Brandt.
May it please the court, Mr. Chief Justice, I'm here on behalf of the state of Ohio to ask this court to affirm Larry Gapin's convictions and sentence him to death for the aggravated murder of Jessica Young.
Counsel, it truly is troubling that you have a merger with life recommendations and yet the death penalty is imposed. I understand one of the counts gave death, but how can you give death and merge the counts? Explain to me legally how that is possible.
When the jury returned a death sentence verdict for count 13, the court was required to impose the death sentence for count 13 if it found in its independent review that the aggravating circumstances outweighed the mitigating factors beyond a reasonable doubt. The court did find that the aggravating circumstances outweighed the mitigating factors beyond a reasonable doubt, and it imposed death for count 13. But that does not mean that it reconsidered the jury's life sentence recommendations for counts 14, 15, and 16.
But if it merges them, it didn't say you have life on these counts and you have death on this. That's not what the entry said. The entry merged them and then gave death, which essentially is imposing death on what the jury had already decreed was life.
The termination entry reveals that the life sentence recommendations by the jury were left intact for counts 14, 15, and 16. But because Larry Gapin could not be sentenced more than once for the killing of a single victim, the court merged 14, 15, and 16 into 13 and imposed death. The court did not impose life, or I'm sorry, the court did not impose death on 14, 15, and 16. It kept the life sentence recommendations intact, but simply merged those for purposes of imposing sentence.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question. Would a judge have the power when faced with that rather unusual fact pattern? Because I don't think I have ever seen a death case where that merger has resulted with some life and some death. Would the judge have had the ability to dismiss the counts that had the life sentence and just proceed solely on the merger or on the one death penalty? Would that have been a permissible outcome?
For the court to dismiss counts 14, 15, and 16?
So that there was no merger issue remaining. Does a judge have the power to do that?
I don't think so, because those recommendations are binding, but I think when the court...
But doesn't the judge always have a power to dismiss any charges?
You're right. They do. The court does have the power to dismiss the charges, but I'm not sure if that would conflict with the mandatory.
Well, it certainly would be going less than the jury, which is what the law allows. The jury, you just can't go greater, which is the merger problem.
Right, and I don't think that. I mean, this type of merger is done in every single case where the lesser sentences are merged into the greater sentences for purposes of sentence. I don't think that the court did anything wrong in merging the life sentences into the death sentence and imposing the death sentence for the murder of Jessica Young. The state was not required to elect prior to the penalty phase which counts were to go before the jury. So the court, you know, did the merger at the appropriate time and in the appropriate manner. Turning to Gapin's first proposition of law, wherein he argues that the supplemental instruction given to the jury coerced the death verdict. Even assuming that the note was clear that the jury had rejected the death sentence on all 12 aggravated murder counts, the note did not constitute a final verdict. Until the jurors return their verdict in open court and until it is accepted by the court, it is nothing more than a tentative agreement, and any juror can change his position at any time given conversations with the other jurors. There was no evidence to suggest that this instruction was coercive. The jurors were told that a death sentence could be returned only if the jurors could conscientiously do so, and that they should not surrender honest convictions in order to be congenial. The court told the jury that it was to return a death sentence only if all 12 jurors agreed beyond a reasonable doubt that the aggravating circumstances outweighed the mitigating factors beyond a reasonable doubt. This reinforced to the jurors that a single juror could prevent a death sentence. The fact that there were 11 life sentence verdicts returned by this jury shows irrefutably that the jury knew they had a choice, and in fact they exercised that choice. The instruction was not coercive. I would also like to address Gapin's argument that the sentencing verdicts with regard to Jessica were divergent. Those counts were not divergent. The verdicts were different because the counts were different. The felony murder counts had an additional element that the murder with prior calculation and design did not have. When the jury considered the nature and circumstances of the offense for mitigating value, the jury could consider the felony murder, the underlying felonies in the felony murders that were committed against Martha. It was the presence of those underlying felonies that tied Jessica's murder to the crime of passion that Gapin asserted at trial. And the absence of those underlying felonies in the aggravated murder with prior calculation and design count took away the link between Jessica's killing and the crime of passion. What the jurors were left with was the fact that Jessica was asleep in her bed two floors up from the killing of Martha and Nathan. Yet after Gapin killed Martha and Nathan, the two people that were directly linked to his despair, Gapin climbed two flights of stairs, went into Jessica's bedroom, and repeatedly hit her in the head, neck, and chest with a wood-splitting maul. Gapin later told detectives that he killed Jessica because she talked back to him, smoked and drank in the house, and had always disrespected him. Gapin specifically sought Jessica out to kill her, and the jury was reasonably found that there was no mitigating value to be extracted from the aggravated murder with prior calculation and design. The jurors did exactly what it was told to do. It considered the nature and circumstances of the offense for mitigation. When it found mitigation, it returned life sentence recommendations. When it found that there was no mitigation in the prior calculation and design count that could equal or outweigh the aggravating circumstances, it imposed death for count 13. The state would ask this court, in its independent review, to find that death is the appropriate sentence for Gapin. The aggravating circumstances in this case carry tremendous weight. Gapin killed Jessica in a criminal course of conduct that involved the purposeful killing of Martha Madewell, the purposeful killing of Nathan Marshall, an aggravated robbery, an aggravated burglary, and a rape, an attempted rape of Martha. Gapin committed these offenses while he was on house arrest for the abduction of Martha Madewell and when he was prohibited from leaving the confines of his own home. When compared to the substantial weight of the aggravating circumstances, the mitigating factors are insignificant, and it is the state's position that the aggravating factors far outweigh the mitigating factors in the case. And for that reason, we would ask the court to affirm Larry Gapin's convictions and sentence him to death for the murder of Jessica Young. If this court has no further questions, I will rest on my brief.
Thank you, Ms. Brandt. Mr. Lowe, you've saved 22 minutes of your time.
May it please the court, as to the state's argument that the counts were different, it's a roundabout way for the state to argue that a non-statutory aggravating circumstances, to argue the facts that lessens the mitigating factors is simply to consider the nature and circumstances of the crime as a non-statutory aggravating circumstance. As the state said, life verdicts were binding by the jury. And to address Justice Stratton's question, to dismiss the counts would offend the sense of fairness by dismissing the counts because life was imposed.
But does the judge have the power to do that?
No, because at that point, it was already submitted to the jury, and the jury deliberated and acquitted Larry Gapin of death on those counts. To simply dismiss would be ignoring the jury's verdicts and take the jury out of the process that our system has provided. Life is binding, death is not. That's why 2929.03d2 and d3 permits the trial court to override a death recommendation but is bound by a life verdict. On behalf of Larry Gapin, We request that the death sentence be vacated and remand to the trial court for resentencing to life without the possibility of parole. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lowe. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.